Start a series on the doctrines of grace. And I have anticipated this for a long time, and I look forward to teaching it again. I want to start the study off with Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. I believe in the doctrines of grace. I believe that they originate from God. That they are taught throughout the Holy Scriptures. And so what we are going to do in the next several weeks is attempt to prove the system that we call the doctrines of grace, sovereign grace. And what I hope to accomplish is to prove these truths from the Word of God. But before we get into the real meat of the study, I want to give you some reasons this morning why a study of the doctrines of grace is practical, profitable, and edifying to your soul. First and foremost, only the doctrines of grace completely ascribe all glory to God in the salvation of unworthy sinners. God is exalted to the highest place of honor and dignity, whereas man is shown to be helpless, hopeless, infirm, undone, wicked, ungodly, apart from sovereign grace. No doctrine that impugns the majesty and sovereignty of God by attempting to exalt man's supposed free will is glorifying to God. You cannot give even one shred of credit to man when it comes to the salvation of his soul. One of the reasons why the subject of free and sovereign grace is exalted in the Holy Scriptures is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 31. It says, without apology, that God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring not things at all, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, He that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Only those who ascribe to the doctrines of free and sovereign grace from their heart really believe the theology of Jonah. I embrace the theology of Jonah. He made a statement that is so powerful, a confession of faith that was so concise, it ought to be embraced by every Bible believer. Salvation is of the Lord. Jonah chapter 2 and verse 9. When the doctrines of grace are understood from the heart, gracious results will be produced in the life of the believer. These are doctrines that cause a deep humility to flood the mind and the soul of one who's been rescued out of a life of sin and shame by the strong arm of the Lord. If He's brought you out of the miry pit and set your feet upon a rock, you ought to be humbled before Him. That He would extend His gracious arm to someone so unworthy, so foul, a stench in His nostrils, yet God reached down where we were and exalted us as the object of His grace. A deeper reverence and appreciation for God develops as you begin to consider how unworthy you are of such benefits as the pardon of sin, acceptance with God, and the gracious presence of the indwelling Holy Spirit. When I consider my former condition, and the mountain of sins, and the innumerable transgressions that I have committed against a holy God, my heart is at once filled with wonder and amazement that God would save such a repulsive wretch as me. The doctrines of grace are personal to me. I will never forget the first time that I really came to understand the doctrines of grace. I was driving in my car. It hadn't been long after I had been saved. I didn't know any terminology. But I started to think and ask myself, why would God save me? And I considered myself to be more wicked and sinful than any of my peers. In fact, as I pondered, I thought out of all my friends, I thought of myself as the least likely candidate for God's grace. And the realization that God alone was responsible for my salvation and my new life in Christ, it began to flood my heart, my soul. And like I said, I didn't know I believed the 5 points. I didn't know any theological terminology, but I knew that in my heart, in the very depths of my being, I was convinced that the only reason my life had been changed was because of the sovereign grace of a loving God. And I can remember tears flowing down my cheeks as I praised God. I was driving along in my car. People probably thought I was crazy. But I began to thank the Lord for His salvation. And I guess it's the same way that Ruth felt when she fell before Boaz. And she said in Ruth chapter 2, verse 10, "Then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, Why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I am but a stranger? God opened my eyes and my heart to the doctrines of grace experimentally. Not just intellectually. And I hope as we study these truths that you don't view them as merely a doctrinal system of cold, hard doctrinal facts. I hope it moves your heart to worship, to praise Almighty God for what He's done in your life. The doctrines of grace should not be viewed merely as a system of faith that we embrace intellectually, but they ought to warm our heart. They ought to stir the very depths of our being to worship the Most High God, to praise the God of heaven for saving our unworthy souls. The doctrines of grace, if properly understood, are eternal truths that provide comfort, refuge, and stability in a world that is increasingly unstable and confusing. To rest upon God's unchanging grace is a wonderful cordial to a troubled heart. To know that He loves and cares for my soul in times of distress and affliction and persecution enables me to trust Him regardless of my circumstances. Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 3. "But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior." As we study, my hope and my desire is that the God of all grace will be glorified, and that you will be built up in the most holy faith as we study these precious truths. We have a psalm in our hymnal. Thank God for the Berea Baptist hymnal. God laid it upon the heart of Brother Milburn Cockrell many, many years ago, back in the 80s. That sounds so funny that I would say something like that. But to bring a Sovereign Grace Baptist hymnal to the forefront. And there's a song in there that we sing often called "Free Grace and Election" by John Adams. Part of the song goes like this. I'm not going to sing it, but "Sons we are through God's election, who in Jesus Christ believe, by eternal destination, sovereign grace we here receive. Lord thy mercy, doth both grace and glory give. Pause my soul
adore and wonder. Ask, O why such love to me? Grace has put me in the number of the Savior's family. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thanks, eternal thanks to Thee. When in that blessed habitation, which my God has foreordained, when in glory's full possession, I with saints and angels stand, free grace only, free grace only, shall resound through Canaan's land. Come with me to Psalm chapter 11, and verse 3. I'm sure that there are some verses in the Bible that cause you to reflect on maybe a sermon that's been preached that was really important to you as a believer. This is one of them for me. Psalm 11 and verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And I remember Brother Al Gormley, the pastor of Bryan Station Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky. The late Al Gormley. He's in glory now. He preached from this text the day that the mission in Wilmington, Ohio was organized. I was one of the first people saved in that mission. And he preached this message on August 29th, 1981. I hadn't even been saved a year. And his sermon consisted of exhortations to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. He emphasized the importance of standing for the doctrines of grace in a day when most Baptists have departed from these precious truths. Not just doctrinally, but also practically, in the way that they do their evangelism. You see, part of the faith once delivered is the teaching of God's sovereign grace in the salvation of helpless sinners. Now, some of you have grown up in churches where you've heard these truths your whole life. How thankful you ought to be. There has never been a time in my Christian life that I have not believed in the system of truth known as the doctrines of grace. I was saved in a mission where the pastor taught the truths of the doctrines of grace. I can remember I hadn't been saved probably even a month, and my pastor would open up the scriptures and say, "Now here's why we believe in election." And he showed me the Bible. And he taught the truths line upon line, precept upon precept. This is year number 36 for me since the Lord brought me to salvation. I love these truths. They bring great joy to my heart and soul to know that God loved me with an everlasting love unconditionally. He saw no good in me. I was wretched, guilty, broken, corrupt, from head to toe. Heart, mind, soul, spirit. Everything about me was dead spiritually. But God loved me before I ever existed. And He chose to bring about all the circumstances whereby I would be brought to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Where I was born, where I worked, who I interacted with, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. In order to accomplish this grand scheme of sovereign grace, God had a particular plan for me. He wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world began. And in His time, and according to His good pleasure, He drew me. He gave me spiritual life by the power of the Holy Spirit. He gave me the grace that very moment to believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins on the cross, that He was buried, that He rose again for me. And that very day, He imputed the very righteousness of the Savior to me. The Spirit of God indwells me and keeps me. And I believe this was all planned before the foundation of the world, before anything existed, and that this plan will extend all the way throughout the eternal ages. How glorious it is to be part of this grand and glorious truth of salvation by free grace only. I pray today that you know Him. That this is more than just some doctrines that you can spout off. I pray by the end of this study that they'll move your heart and cause you to have a greater love and reverence and respect for the One that loves you with an everlasting love. Oh, that God would be pleased to use these truths to draw us to a greater knowledge and love for our God. We're dismissed.